He did not bring us this far to let us starve. He did not bring us this far to let us die. He did not bring us this far to let us down. So if something's not lining up with what we thought was going to happen, he must have a better plan. He has to have a better plan, because he's the one who told me that there was the plan. He's the one who put me on step number one of his plan. He told me to go. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Kingdom Vision Podcast. My name is Cole Harris, and today's going to be a way chiller episode. I'm in Austin, Texas right now. I'm kind of just going to give you a life update of what I've been doing. You know, what the Lord's been teaching me as of late. The Lord's been so good to me. I just got back from Hawaii. I was in Hawaii for 6 days with my buddy Josh Hardwick, filming some documentary work out there. And I literally just landed today. Today's Tuesday, May 7th. And then tomorrow I'm flying out to New York City. And so I didn't have a podcast recorded for this week. And so I just am setting up the cameras and gonna get something recorded for y'all. But I have a crazy story for y'all that I haven't told. And a lot of my close friends have been telling me I need to share it. But I went to London, England, January, I think it was 1st through the 5th or 5th through the 9th, for 4 or 5 days. And I went over there, and it was crazy. I went over there with the pastor that I love and got to serve with my camera. I was going there to document just how God was moving. And I get to London, and the first thing that happened in London was a prophet from London. He meets us at the airport, and he begins to just give this pastor just a word from God. Just begins to speak over him some things he feels like God has told him to tell this pastor. And the first half of it was at the airport, and then the second half was at the house. And I'm sitting there, and might I add, I've never really experienced prophecy, you know, firsthand. And actually, it was one of the biggest questions I had about God, biggest questions I had about Christianity, was the spiritual gifts and how they operated. And so when I heard word that there's a prophet going to come give this pastor a word, my ears perked up like I'm about to study what's about to take place. So we end up getting back to the house later, and it gets to be personal. You know, I know this pastor. I've been traveling with him. I know him. And this prophet begins to say things about this pastor that are very personal, very timely, you know, to this man's life. And I end up, you know, I'm a guest on this trip, and I end up, it was so accurate, you know, I end up chiming in. I chimed in, and I said, "Are you sure you've never heard this man speak? You've never seen him on social media, you've never seen him anywhere?" Because the words that he was saying were accurate, because I've been following this man, been around this man, so I'm like freaking out, and like, God's clearly speaking through this man because he's saying things. So I chime in, and I'm a guest on the trip, saying, "Are you sure you haven't seen him ever? Because it was that accurate." And the prophet said, "The only thing I know about him is his name." I'm like, wow. So this is the first time experiencing this firsthand. And fast forward, the reason this is important is because that's the first I had experienced it firsthand, you know, number one. But fast forward 2 or 3 weeks later, I'm supposed to go back to London and live there for 30 days. And the plan was to go there and live for 30 days, paid for a trip. I'll be doing documentary work, documenting how the Lord's moving again in London, because the people there were special, like so hungry for the Lord, so hungry for the things of God. And it was so refreshing, because we get so distracted here in America, and we get distracted by things that don't really matter. And these people were just hungry for him, for his presence, for everything about Jesus. And so we were going to go back, and it started off about 2-3 weeks before I was supposed to leave. I began to feel like it started off, didn't feel excited. The first time I went in January, I was itching to go. I was so stoked. And then I come back, and it's about 2 weeks. I'm supposed to leave in about March 15th. And I'm just not that excited. I'm like, well, it'll kick. The closer it gets, it'll go. And then fast forward, we're about to leave. We're about 9 days out from leaving. And this feeling grew to, man, I feel like I'm not supposed to go. Like, I feel like I'm not supposed to go to London. I didn't know how to tell this pastor that's a paid for trip. You know, God told me not to go. In the past, you know, I've maybe gotten some of that wrong. You know, I feel like God's saying this, but I don't know for sure. And so I'm sitting down to pray. This is a Friday, 9 days before we leave. This is probably about March 6th or something like that. And I go, God, we got to figure this out. So I spent that whole day praying and fasting. And I wake up that next Saturday to a text from a woman leader. She was the leader of the ministry in London, to saying the prophet in his name, you know, has a word for you. Meanwhile, the only interactions I've ever had with this guy was when I saw him at the airport in that first day I was in London, 60 days prior to what he's about to tell me. And apparently I was on his heart, I was on his mind, the Holy Spirit was just bringing him up. I'm like, okay, I mean, heck yeah, I'm not about to not accept this. So he sends me the 2 15-minute voice memos. And the voice memos were, you know, they started off, he just was affirming my identity. The one thing that stuck out is a lot about me. And I don't want to really go into all of the things that he, you know, the Lord put on him, but just affirming my identity. One of the things he said was the Father was wrapping his arms around me and the Father was crying, you know, just embracing me, just how much love he had for me. And it was just really encouraging. But anybody who's maybe not had a prophetic word, maybe had problems with people giving prophetic words, is a lot of times they're really vague. So I was like, this is wildly encouraging, but like, this could apply to anybody at the same time. So about 12 minutes in, he goes, and I'm about to tell you something directional, and I don't know if this means anything to you, and if it doesn't mean anything to you, just lay these words aside and just forgive me if I've misspoken. But I know you're supposed to be coming back to London, but for some reason I feel like the Lord is saying, or he said, I know you're coming back to London. I know you're coming back to London. But for some reason I feel the Lord saying that your future is not here in London. He said verbatim, your future is not here in London. I know you're supposed to be coming back. I know you're coming back. He didn't know I was doubting this. He had no idea. I'd never talked to him. I've only had one interaction with this guy 60 days prior. I'm highly doubting whether the Lord is wanting me to go to London. He goes, I know you're supposed to go to London, or you're coming to London, under the assumption, because he doesn't know what it means. And he says, your future is not here in London, verbatim. He then goes, it was kind of like when I was younger, I went on a mission trip to Africa. I thought I was called to Africa, and turned out I wasn't, and it caused more hell than heaven. And that's what he said. And I was just shook. And honestly, it felt more normal. I thought when I would get a word like that, it would be sky falling down, you know, the sky opening, the heavens ripping. But it just felt so normal. And the Lord spoke. I mean, I took that as confirmation that I was feeling in my conscience, my spirit, whatever you want to say, like I was feeling in my heart, like I really am not supposed to be going to London. And then I get this prophetic word confirming it. And I've never experienced anything like that. So I end up telling the pastor, hey, like I feel, you know, I got this word, I can't go, God spoke. And the pastor was so awesome about it. Man, he was so encouraging. He was happy for me that the Lord had spoken. And even, hey, if you're thinking about still coming, I don't want you to come anymore. Because if God doesn't want you to come, then why would I want you to come? Because that would be me disobeying God. And so all that to say, I get this prophetic word. And for the first off, I guess, let me define prophecy. You know, for the longest, this was number one, so wild about this experience was, for the longest time, you see people on the stage just giving blind words. And I believe, I'm not going to say one way or the other, but I believe it's still a good thing, right? But when this was the way he did it, prophecy by definition, I believe, is somebody who has a gift from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit just speaks to them in unique ways for other people. It's prophetic. For the future, for their life, an encouraging word, a futuristic word. And all it means is the Holy Spirit speaks to this person uniquely for other people. The gift is not, everyone doesn't have the gift of prophecy. I believe everyone can prophesy. It says that in 1 Corinthians, I believe 14. And I don't have the scriptures pull up, but we can go a deep dive in that another day. But everyone can prophesy, but a gift to prophesy. The Holy Spirit has bestowed upon people unique giftings, and it's for the upbuilding of other people primarily. But the etiquette in which he did it, I just so fell in love with. And I feel like this is the first time I've seen it practiced perfectly, like truly perfectly, was he said, I'm about to give you a directional word about your future. If this means nothing to you, forgive me and lay these words aside. And the caution and the care that he gave a directional word over my life with is the, I believe, the way the Lord's heart intends for a prophetic word to be given, instead of flippantly offering up, hey, I feel like God's telling, you know, it's just like, I feel like if someone's truly hearing from God, that's the way they would speak on truthfully, with humility, with care, with caution, because like they're human as well. And anyways, but this word, so that's, I believe that's the definition of prophecy. I believe it was practiced here. I believe it's a biblical gift. I believe you can read about it in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. The spiritual gifts have not ceased. They're still in practice today. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have some sort of spiritual gift. There's like funny little tests out there where you can figure them out, but whatever. But it was just so encouraging. But the reason, let me look at my notes where I want to go with next. And then so that was March. And the point I'm going to get with it, this story was number one, to share this crazy story, to show that this, to encourage y'all that this does happen. I think I do want to say too, is you don't need to wait for the prophetic word. A lot of people fixate on, if I just got a prophetic word, then I would know God is speaking to me. I've been a Christian for 4 years, and it's the first time I've ever had anything happen like that to me. And God speaks primarily, number one, through the word of God, through the written word. And then God also wants to speak to you. If God does not want his voice, he did not intend for his voice to be hard to hear. And so you can hear God speak primarily through the word of God. And so if you're wanting to hear from God, and don't just wait for the prophetic word, but if it happens, it can bless you immensely. So that was March 15th, and right now it's May 7th. So then, since then, the Lord has just been opening doors for me, opportunities. Clearly, like, the Lord was wanting to do certain things in my life during that time. If I was going to be out of the country for 30 days, and God went so out of his way to make sure I wasn't in London, then he clearly wanted to do something in my life during that time frame. And so God was just going through these, working through certain things, and it was very clear. I would rather not share what has happened since then, because it's deeply personal, but he definitely has moved over these last 30 days, very timely, very noticeably, obviously God. But the point I want to make is I was in Hawaii, and there's a timely word. I just show up to this church. It was Livingstone Church in Hawaii. This was about 3 days ago. And this pastor was an amazing pastor. He's affiliated with YWAM. I'm not that familiar with YWAM, but everybody talks about YWAM. And he starts preaching. And he starts preaching about Abraham and when God spoke to Abraham. And it didn't look like what Abraham had expected. And I feel like that's what this message, the point I'm trying to convey is when God speaks to us and it's clear, we feel God has spoken to us to do this, to make this decision to go here. God is pointing us in a direction. We are obedient to the Lord and we do it. And it doesn't look like we thought it would look. There is an area right there where we can either have faith to the word that God has spoken to us, or we can have fear and allow our circumstances to drive us into making bad decisions. And I think part of it too is we'll realize a lot of times when God speaks and it doesn't look the way we thought it would, like God told me not to go to London And I thought it was because of X, Y, and Z, and it was not because of X, Y, and Z. Actually, it was the opposite of that. We'll begin to learn that where our satisfaction lies. Like, are we disappointed because it didn't go the way we thought it would? Are we disappointed because our expectations weren't met with what we thought? And we'll quickly realize that our hope, we had more hope in our circumstances than we thought we did. Like, because the word that God spoke in my life, he didn't want me to go to London. He wanted me, and I thought God wanted me to do this because I wanted to do certain things. Then maybe, and the fact that now I'm not as satisfied because what I thought what I wanted to happen isn't happening, that I'm starting to realize, you will begin to realize that there was more hope in your circumstances than you ever thought there was. And you'll realize there's a part of your heart that the Lord is longing to have, a part of your heart that the Lord is wanting to obtain in your heart that was reserved for him, that you're kind of putting a little bit too much affection in your circumstances. I hope this makes sense. Like, let me simplify. And I'm kind of being really vulnerable right now too, so I hope y'all appreciate it, but whatever. This is real. This is a podcast, but you know you have an idol when you desire something. You know it's a good thing from God. It's God-given. God blesses it. It's from the earth, you know, whatever it is. When you don't have it and you aren't satisfied, you know you have an idol when you desire something, but you can't have it, so you're not satisfied. Meaning that you are now becoming what? You are now coveting. You are desiring something you don't have. You become jealous. It's selfish ambition. When you see something that you want and you don't have it and you become not satisfied, means that by definition, you're saying that if you had that, you would be happy and you're not happy now. It's just simple. I know this is like simple, but if you desire something and you don't have it, so then you're not satisfied. I believe the Christian should walk around in complete gratitude and satisfaction in knowing who we are in Jesus and having the love of Jesus, having gratitude that the Lord's timing is greater than our timing, having satisfaction. He knows his ways are higher than our ways. And by the very act of saying, I desire this, I don't have it, so I'm not satisfied, it kind of presents arrogance. It shows that, you know, maybe that I know better than God, or my ways are better, higher than God's ways, because obviously God has not blessed this very thing. And so why would I not be satisfied? I hope this makes sense. I hope you are tracking with me. I believe Abraham, this happens in Abraham, and this is what the guy in Hawaii preached, and I've been reading in Genesis 2, which is crazy how God worked that out too, but Abraham got a word at 75 years old when he had zero kids and his wife was old too, that he would be the father of many nations. And not only that, but his descendants would be as more than the stars in the sky. Yet he had no son. So God gave Abraham a prophetic word, it actually is a prophetic word. It just kind of came out. Prophetic word that he would have descendants that would outnumber the stars in the sky. So Abraham had to trust in that word. And then also, back that up, Abraham was told to go into the land of the Canaanites, and the land of the Canaanites would be your descendants' land. So he goes to the land of Canaan, and when he gets to the land of Canaan, there's a famine, okay? Instead of Abraham saying, well, I got to Canaan, I know God told me to come here, so he must know that there was going to be a famine because he's God. Instead of me saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do because there is a famine? What did Abraham do? He fled into Egypt, and God never told him to go to Egypt. God never told him to tell Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister so that Pharaoh wouldn't kill him to take his wife. Abraham started to do things because what he thought would be the outcome of God telling him to go to the land of Canaan wasn't what God had intended. He had his expectations and God's will were not in, they were off. And that presents a dynamic where bad decisions could be made, or it's an opportunity to allow faith to become a tool to, okay, I'm now being grown by this situation. Okay, God told me to come here. God told me to do this. It's not lining up with my desires or what I thought would happen. This is an opportunity. This is the beauty of struggling and perseverance and sometimes persecution, but really just struggling in this life. Like, life is hard sometimes, that these become opportunities. We shouldn't be sad or mad at hard things that come in this life, but we should rejoice because God is using this opportunity to, number one, purge bad things in your heart that don't belong, and number one, building your faith, building your reliance on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who has numbered our days, all of our days, before we ever lived one of them. So there becomes these opportunities when our motives and our satisfactions aren't lining up with what we thought God was going to do. Instead of being, oh, wow, this sucks, it's an opportunity to have gratitude, knowing that the Creator of the universe is working something in your life. He didn't speak to you just to leave you there to let you die. He didn't deliver the Israelites from Egypt to get them to the wilderness to just kill them. He didn't part the Red Sea to then let them starve in the wilderness. You know, we get to these areas when God has spoken, and we get to the other side and God's not done with the story, but we just don't have the foresight, or that we don't have a deep enough trust in knowing that He is the Creator of all the things. He has our future in our palms. He did not bring us this far to let us starve. He did not bring us this far to let us die. He did not bring us this far to let us down. So if something's not lining up with what we thought was going to happen, He must have a better plan. He has to have a better plan, because He's the one who told me that there was the plan. He's the one who put me on step number one of His plan. He told me to go. He's the one who said go, so then He must know what He's doing. And so I believe there's opportunities, number one, to trust deeper, the abandonment of self-preservation, the abandonment of self, and allowing the Lord's will to truly, and truly allowing my desires, your desires, to, and God's will to become one, right? God's will for our life, our desires, our motives, our expectations, we want to just get them to where they're on track. And yeah, let me see what else I have, but that's really, yeah, the last thing I wanted just to say is we need to have our faith in Jesus, not our circumstances. Okay, and so when God leads us somewhere and it doesn't go how we thought it should go, if you feel dissatisfied, view it as an opportunity in the grace of God highlighting in your life the fact that you could be putting your hope more in your circumstances than you should be. And discipline and correction is the most loving thing God our Father can do, because He only disciplines those He loves. He only disciplines His children. And so if you are having areas of your life highlighted where you're beginning to realize selfish motives, things that you don't want in your heart, don't be condemned. Don't go into depression. Don't start feeling bad for yourself, because the Lord your God chose this time right now. He said, this is the best time that I can highlight to them these issues, these things that we want to correct in your life. God knows even when He's going to reveal it to you, because He knows that you are in the perfect place to receive this correction. And He's going to walk and hold your hand. He's going to hold your hand and walk with you through this to the other side, to the promised land, to victory. But it's not really about the promised land. It's the fact that He's holding your hand. It's the fact that the King of Kings is walking hand in hand with you. So what could scare you? What could tear you down? But that's the end of this episode. Pretty casual. I hope this encourages y'all. I hope this blesses y'all. This is a really real, really honest, kind of got vulnerable. But it's the real, bro. This is the real, real. So I hope this blesses y'all. And I'll see you in the next video. God bless.